The pasuk of Eicha Esa Levadi Tochachem Umasachem Vivchem, so we sing it in the Eicha tune, not in the regular laning tune. Now it's very nice. It's the same word Eicha as the beginning of Eicha, and it's of course the week Dvarim is the week of Tisha B'Av. But why is that so important that pasuk, other than sharing the same word of Eicha, should be sung in the Eicha tune? So what was Moshe Rabbeinu saying in that pasuk? Moshe Rabbeinu was saying that he was supposed to be the Dayan, and everybody who had a mishpat would come to Moshe Rabbeinu, and then Yisro came and he said that it's impossible, it's not going to work, and therefore he has to appoint a lot of other Dayanim, hundreds and thousands of other Dayanim, in order to judge all of Klal Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, Eicha Esel Vadi, I'm not going to be able to do it on my own. And he discusses over here how he appointed the Sari Alofim, the Sari Meus, as the Yanim for Klal Yisrael. Why can't Moshe Rabbeinu do it on his own? So he says, because Tochachem. He says, because of the Tircha, the difficulty there is in judging Klal Yisrael. Why is it so difficult to judge Klal Yisrael? So Rashi explains that if somebody sees that his opponent is winning, so he'll do some maneuvers. He'll say, oh, I have to bring some witnesses. Give me a couple of weeks to bring some witnesses. And then he'll say, you know what? I'd like to add Dayanim onto the panel. I don't want to just have Moshe Rabbeinu. Maybe let's have other Dayanim. You're allowed to have more Dayanim than three if you want. So he'll do these technical maneuvers in order to drag the case along, not to be able to try get as much advantage as he could. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, well, if you're trying to do that, then it's not going to be so simple. Each case is already a big mess. It's going to take a long time for me to judge it, and I'm not going to be able to judge everybody. So what now? All these cases are technically okay. All these cases are, in a sense, legal maneuvers. They're not, otherwise Moshe Rabbeinu would just say, no, you can't go ahead and do it. So all these cases were legal halachic maneuvers, but Moshe Rabbeinu is complaining that it's not right. So what was really wrong with what Moshe Rabbeinu was, what Klal Yisrael was doing? So it would seem to be that what's the point of having a Dayan and having Mishpat? So what's the point of that? So we want to reach a judgment, but it could be for one of two reasons. It could be you're trying to win. That's the goal. The goal is to win. Or you're trying to make shalom. You're trying to be able to settle the dispute. Whether you're trying to win or you're trying to make shalom, you're going to be going to a court case very, very differently. If you're trying to win, so then, okay, you're going to do everything in your hands to be able to win. And any maneuver that you can have to be able to win, you're going to try to do that. But winning a case, generally, what does it lead to? Even if you win and the other guy loses, it doesn't make shalom. The guy walks out of court, he still feels that he was ba'aveled. He still feels that he didn't really get a fair hearing. Because generally speaking, when you have two people in a dispute, let's say two people in a business dispute, it's generally not 100% correct on one side and 0% on the other side. Generally, both people have a side to them. Even the guy who's going to lose, it's not like he's 100% wrong. He might be 80% wrong, and he'll end up losing. But he had an argument in his side, which was somewhat correct also. When he comes out of din and he's going to end up losing, so he doesn't, he's not happy with the result, just the opposite. He's really, really angry with the result. So you don't end up in shalom in that mishpat, you end up winning. One person ends up winning, but it doesn't end up bringing to shalom. If the goal is to bring shalom, you come to the mishpat in a very different attitude. You're not just trying to do everything you could to win. You're really trying to look to settle the case. How can we stop this machlokas? So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. I see the goal of everybody coming is just to win. Okay, if you're going to win, then cases are going to be very, very different, difficult, and you're going to be trying to do as much as you could to be able to win. But the goal is not to reach a settlement to try settle the machlokas. And then, I think they say in marriage, if you're arguing, you can either be right or you can be in love, but you can't have both, because if you're going to be right, so then you'll be right, but your spouse won't be happy with you. But on the other hand, if your goal is to try reach a settlement to be together, so the goal is not necessarily to be right. So here we're saying also the goal was to be right and to win. So that makes din difficult, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu says, I can't do that altogether on my own. And if you do that, so then once it's tochachem, the next word in the pasuk is umasachem. Masachem is your burden. So what was the burden? So it says that the people used to look at Moshe Rabbeinu, and they would say that if Moshe Rabbeinu left early in the morning, they would say, why is Moshe Rabbeinu leaving early in the morning? He's not happy at home. That's why he has to leave early. And if Moshe Rabbeinu left late, so he says, what's Moshe Rabbeinu doing the whole time in his house that he leaves late? Is he trying to think of Eitzes to try tax us and to make Xeris against us? So they were very critical of Moshe Rabbeinu. But that really comes as a result of the first thing. Because if two people go to din in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, and ultimately it's very difficult, and they're really fighting. And Moshe Rabbeinu decides one person's right, one person's wrong. So whenever you speak to someone who comes out of a din Torah, and the dayanim decide against him, the person never says, you know, maybe the dayan was right. The person generally says, either the dayan is an idiot because he doesn't get the case. He just didn't get it. I'm talking about a person who doesn't get it. Or he's corrupt. You know, he's a corrupt person. That's why he decided against me. He must be corrupt. The person never says, you know, maybe I was actually wrong and the dayan was actually right. That a person generally doesn't say. So when Moshe Rabbeinu is going to have to go ahead in a very difficult case and he's going to have to decide one side or the other, there's going to be people who are hating Moshe Rabbeinu. Once they hate him, they'll always find things. Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu, he's getting up in the morning, early in the morning. He's not happy in his house. That's why he has to get up early. So again, that creates that Moshe Rabbeinu can't be a proper leader because he had to be the dayan, and there was so much friction and fighting in the case. Instead of just the opposite, we're trying to, the goal would be to look for shalom and to look to try settle the case in the best possible way. So that's very relevant, of course, to the message of Tisha B'Av. The message of Tisha B'Av is the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed for Sinas Chinam. And as many people have pointed out, that Sinas Chinam doesn't mean I hate the person for no reason, because you never hate somebody for no reason. The people I hate, I can explain you very well why I hate them. They did this and they did that and the other, and I have good reasons why I hate them. Sinas Chinam means it's not a justified reason. It didn't have to be like that. You could have worked things out in a way that they wouldn't have been hated each other. It's your fault, in a sense, that you hate him. That's what Sinas Chinam is. But had things worked a little differently, they wouldn't have hated each other. So that's the message. Are you coming to this din just to look to fight and to look to be white and to win? Yes, then you might win, but your opponent will end up hating you, and then you'll end up hating him, and you'll remain with an enemy. Or are you trying to come to this case to look to try create some sort of shalom between the two, and then you'll come to the case very differently, and you won't end up hating the person. Now, we're in the Harvey Rich Beis Medrash. So one of the things Alan said at his father's Levaya, that I think in 50 years of business or whatever it was, he never had a fight with anybody. He never had a lawsuit. He never had a fight, because that's the way he conducted business in a way. And anybody knew Harvey Rich is not surprised. That's the way he conducted business, in a way that he's not just looking to be aggressive and to be right and to try and get the best advantage. He dealt with people, and he knew how to deal with people, and he was able to have a shalom with all the people that he dealt with. So that's a Moshe, but that's very relevant to the Tisha B'Av, to the message of Tisha B'Av. That's why I think we say Eicha in the Tisha B'Av tune. That's why the Rambam tells us that the idea of the fast is not just avelus, but the idea of the fast is that shebezichun dvarim elu noshev kedei, he says, kedei l'oyer halavavos liftoyach darkei hatshuva, that the idea of the fast is to awaken us, that we should open up the path of tshuva. Now, the Rambam doesn't say that on a fast we do tshuva, because we don't have any built-in doing tshuva on a fast. He says we're opening up the path of tshuva, which means we come together and we mourn the Beis HaMikdash, and whenever there's a tragedy, so we start thinking about life, and we forget about the pettiness in life, and we think about the more important things in life, and all these little things tend to fall away, and that opens up the path towards tshuva, that you know, maybe it's not so important to always win, we start thinking about, and then after Tisha B'Av, when we've sort of rethought things, maybe we can start improving and actually doing the tshuva that we have to do. Okay, that's this the one point. I want to say one other point. There's a lot of psukim about the miraglim in this week's parsha. So in the miraglim, there's a very big question in the Rishonim: was the actual sending of the miraglim itself, the request to send the miraglim, was that part of the sin of the miraglim to send the miraglim, or no? The request to send the miraglim, there was nothing wrong with that. That was perfectly fine. And the sin was only when they came back and they said that we're not going to be able to capture Eretz Yisrael, that everybody bought into that. That's the sin of the Meraglim. So that it's known as a machlokes between Rashi and the Ramban. Rashi's approach always is that the actual request to send the Meraglim itself was an Aveira, and they shouldn't have ever asked to send the Meraglim. They should have trusted in Hashem. Whereas the Ramban says, no, that's normal. You go to war, you send Meraglim beforehand. That's very normal. That was very appropriate. And it's only the Meraglim coming back and their reports and the people clearly so believing it, that's the Aveira. So we do have the story of the Meraglim told in Parshas Shlach, again told over here, with many differences between the two times. I mean, Parshas Shelach, the first we know about the Meraglim is Hashem said, send Meraglim. Whereas over here, we have the first Klal Yisrael come to Hashem, well, come to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, let's send Meraglim. And then it says that Moshe Rabbeinu went ahead and sent Meraglim. So here it adds in the detail that it wasn't just Hashem telling them, Shlach Lecha Meraglim. It was Klal Yisrael first came and asked, we want Meraglim. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, that's a good idea. And Hashem then said, go ahead and send the Meraglim. So the question, of course, in Rashi is, if Hashem said to send the Meraglim, so it doesn't seem to be, it's an Aveira. Hashem said, Shlach Lecha. Hashem gave them a mitzvah to send the Meraglim. And that Rashi answers in Parshas Shlach, that Rashi says, Shlach Lecha is not a mitzvah, it just means if you want. I'm not going to stop you sending the Meraglim. If you want, you can send Meraglim, it's not, but there was no actually mitzvah to send it, which doesn't sound like it so much in the Psukim, because in Parshas Shlach it says, Vayishlach Osam Moshe Mimidbar Paran Al Pi Hashem. He says he sent them Al Pi Hashem, according to the words of Hashem. So it doesn't sound like just Hashem was telling them, oh, I'm not going to stop you, it's not an Aveira, but it sounds like Al Pi Hashem. They were following the words of Hashem. So it does sound like that there was a mitzvah to send the Meraglim, like the Ramban says. On the other hand, in our Psukim, where Moshe Rabbeinu is giving them tochacha and telling them the things that they did wrong in the desert, so it actually sounds more like Rashi, because here we have that Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, Re'ei nosen Hashem alokech lefenecha es ha'aretz, Hashem gave you the land, alei reish, go up and inherit the land, kasher dibur Hashem, and then it says, Vatiku v'nalai kulchem atayimu nishalfu an Hashem, you came to me, and you said to send the miracle. The fact that that's included in the tochacha, you came to me to send the Meraglim, so it sounds like that was something wrong. Moshe Rabbeinu is rebuking them for it. I told you, go to Eretz Yisrael, Alei Reish, go. And you came to me and you said you want Meraglim. If that was not wrong, so why is Moshe Rabbeinu including that detail in his tochacha? He doesn't have to say every single detail of the story. So it sounds like Rashi saying that was a problem, that they came and asked for the Meraglim. So we have a little bit of a question. On the one hand, when we read Parshas Shelach, it seems to be that sending the Meraglim, the simple reading of the Parsha, was that the sending of the Meraglim was a mitzvah from Hashem. Hashem said, Shlach Lecha, and they listened to Hashem, Al Pi Hashem, they sent the Meraglim. On the other hand, when you read Parashas Devarim, it seems to be that actually Moshe Rabbeinu said, go straight into Eretz Yisrael, no miraglim. And they came and they asked for miraglim, and the fact that the Torah says it like that seems to me that that was problematic. They shouldn't have asked for miraglim. So which one is it? Is it a mitzvah like the Ramban says, or not a mitzvah like Rashi says? There's an approach from Yaakov Kamenetsky, and this is based on the Chovos HaLevavos and many other Rishonim who say this idea. The Chovos HaLevavos says that if a person does business and has bitachon in Hashem, he lives his life with bitachon in Hashem, Hashem will have a special hashkacha on him, how his life and his business is succeeding. So if he works with bitachon, doesn't say exactly, you know, how much ishtadlus you have to do, that's not the question right now, but if he does his business, he conducts his life with bitachon, that, you know, if this thing is wrong, I'm not going to do it, and I trust in Hashem that this is not the right thing, and I'll make my parnasa without doing this, and, you know, I have to find time for important things in life, I don't have to go ahead and spend this time in business. So he works his life with bitachon, this is the right way to do, and then Hashem will give him a special hashkacha in how his life is being conducted. Whereas if a person says, you know, my bitachon is in my success, I think I'm a pretty successful person, so I trust in my ingenuity and my intelligence and my outgoing to be able to get my business, so Hashem says, fine, so then I'll leave it up to you. That's what you trust in, so I'll back off, and you'll live and you'll die on your success, whether that will work out or not, but there won't be a special hashkacha of Hashem. So those bitachon works. If you have bitachon, so bitachon will be rewarded, that Hashem will give you special hashkacha. If you don't have bitachon, the Chovos HaLevavos says, Hashem backs off, and you're left up to mikra, you're left up to chance. The Ramban says this in a few times in Chumash. There's something which is an idea which is prevalent amongst the Rishonim. The Gemara tells us when it comes to superstition, it's also the same thing. Those who have superstitions of the Kishuv, then the Kishuv works for them. So I heard once from Matasyahu says a superstitious person will always have many proofs that he's right. And he says he's true because if you're superstitious, it'll work for you. And then you'll be able to prove that I didn't do this thing. And you see, this thing happened. So clearly it works. And yeah, for him, it might end up working. So if you buy into a system, the system might work for you. So if Rav Yaakov says like this, ideally, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hashem's willing to give you the land of Eretz Yisrael, alei resh. Go into Eretz Yisrael and to inherit the land. Hashem is telling you you can have bitachon and you can go ahead and you'll get Eretz Yisrael. Again, the question of bitachon and ishtadlus is a difficult question. You have to know what it means to have bitachon. Where is it right to have bitachon? Where is it right to do ishtadlus? But here, at least, Hashem was saying, I'm giving you Eretz Yisrael, alei resh, you can go in and you'll get Eretz Yisrael. If Klal Yisrael were willing to have the bitachon for that, they would have a miraculous entry into Eretz Yisrael, and they wouldn't have had to be able to send miraculum. But the failure of Klal Yisrael is they couldn't live up to that high demand of having bitachon, and they said, we don't have that bitachon. We got to be honest. We don't have that bitachon. We don't really feel that we can go in without going to taking the normal precautions of sending miraglim and finding out the right way to do. So when Klal Yisrael said that, now sending the miraglim actually becomes a mitzvah to go ahead and send the miraglim. Because if you don't have that level of bitachon, you have no right to be able to live like that. And therefore you have to live according to the bitachon that you have, and you're only willing to go with a regular hishtadlus. So on your level, it's actually now a mitzvah to go ahead and to send the miraglim, because it won't work for you anymore if you didn't go ahead and send the miraglim. So therefore, in Parshas Shelach, it's talking to, it doesn't have to say the background of the story, it's talking about once we already know the people were not willing to live on that high level. Okay, so then Hashem said, this is the way you are, I'll deal with you the way you are. Shalach lecha nashim, you now have a mitzvah to go ahead and send Ravim, because that's the only way that's going to work for you right now. In Devarim, when Moshe Rabbeinu is giving the tochacha, and he's telling them what you missed out on, what you could have had. You know, you could have been living on that higher level of being able to go in without the miraglim. And had you done that and been willing to live in that level, then you would have had the miraculous entry. But you didn't do that, and that's how you failed. And that's what he's telling was part of the tochacha. Sure. Okay, I don't think we'll have a minute for Mayur, so. Anybody wants to cross the street?